take your Bible and go to the book of Luke, if you will. Matthew, Mark, Luke, third book in the New Testament. Luke chapter number 10 this morning. Read verses 17 through verse number 20 responsively. Luke chapter number 10, I'll read verse number 17 and then you'll join me on verse 18. We'll alternate like that through verse number 20. Luke chapter number 10, beginning in verse number 17. The Bible says in Luke chapter 10 and verse number 17, "And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." And let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you and we do thank you for another opportunity we have to be in church today. Lord, thank you for a place that we can come and hear the word of God being preached. Lord, thank you for folks of like-minded. Lord, we appreciate the word of God and its influence in our life and the importance that it holds, not just personally in my life and the lives of those in this room, but our church. Lord, if it wasn't for the foundation of the word of God, this would be pointless. Now, Holy Spirit, we'll yield ourselves to you now. As the man of God preaches the word of God, would we yield ourselves to you as best as we can? Please speak to our heart. Lord, do something that we cannot do. Encourage, convict, and strengthen. We'll ask all these things in your name. Amen. You may be seated.
Luke chapter 10 is an amazing chapter. I'll be honest with you. I could preach an entire series of sermons out of Luke chapter 10. I'm not going to, but let me give you just a little background here. Jesus has 70 of his disciples. By the way, he had more than 12 disciples. All right. The Bible says in verse number 1 that after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also unto them 2 by 2. In other words, he took these 70 folks and he split them in 35 groups of 2, and he sent them into all the region where he was going to go and be preaching, and they were kind of preparing the way. They were getting gospel tracts handed out. They were getting meetings scheduled, and they were soul winning and telling folks that Jesus would soon be there and getting things prepared for his coming. Now, in that time, we picked up in verse number 17, they come back to Jesus with some amazing reports. They have seen some amazing responses to the gospel. They've seen God meet their needs because he said, look, when you go out, don't take any money with you. Don't take anything with you. You just go and live by faith and live by the gospel and the people will take care of you. Boy, you talk about living by faith, that's it. It's kind of like starting a church. You ain't got nothing. You don't have people. You don't have a place. You don't have anything to say, I'm going to start a church. That's what we did 9.5 years ago. I still wonder every Sunday, is anybody going to show up? You say, preacher, you shouldn't be that way. Okay, you shouldn't, but you go out and do it sometime, all right? Then you decide you're going to build a building. Think about this. You build a building by faith by taking an offering 3 times a week. That's it. How'd you like to stake your reputation on that? That's what we did. Try to get a bank to give you a loan based on that. That was bad enough. Now, wait a minute. They learned to live by faith and live by the gospel. They were excited about some of the things that were going on. They saw people saved. They saw lives changed. But they were especially excited about a couple things. The Bible says that even the devils were subject to them. They were facing some evil powers, Nancy Pelosi and Chucky Schumer and others. They were facing some evil powers, and the Bible says that while they were there, that the devils were even subject to them. In verse 19, the Bible says, "Behold, I will give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions." Now, everybody look at me. That doesn't mean they had church services and brought snakes and scorpions in. Notice it says tread on. That means walk on. While they were walking, if a poisonous snake came out, God protected them from the bite or the poison of the snakes and the scorpions so that it had no power over them. It doesn't say that they handled snakes in their church services as proof of being filled with the Holy Ghost. That's called proof of being stupid. Now, I got enough sense. I'm not afraid of snakes. But I know this, if it's powerful enough to kill me, I'm not playing with it. I give it a wide berth or pull out the wherewithal to take care of that thing. Amen? You have to understand, there were so many promises that the Bible says that no enemy would be strong enough to do them harm. They were excited to see all the wonderful things happening because of what they were doing for the Lord. Now listen, through all this excitement, seeing the power of God work through them and seeing the devils and the demons obey them, seeing that Jesus being preached did so many different things, listen to this. Jesus said, don't rejoice in those things. He said, you're focused on the wrong thing. In other words, Jesus said, those aren't the valuable things. He says, don't rejoice in the fact that you can walk on snakes and scorpions and they not bother you, or that the devils obey you and that your enemy is not strong enough to defeat you. He said, don't rejoice in that. Verse number 20 says this, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Now that doesn't sound quite as exciting as watching demons come out of people. Too many Christians then and today want to see the spectacular and the unusual. Let me say that again. Too many churches and too many Christians today want to see the spectacular, the unusual, and they seem to think that this unusual, spectacular, miraculous thing is what's exciting about God. God says we ought to rejoice in knowing that our names are written in heaven. That means this. The word rejoice means to have joy again and again and again and again. It's in the linear tense, which means it keeps on going. By the way, that's what God said was the most important thing, not that demons obeyed you. I'm not talking about your children either. There are entire religions based on the spectacular and the unusual. Hang on, I'm not going to name names, but you have religion that is based on, well, I'm saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost because I spoke in tongues. I got it. I fell on the floor and flopped around like a fish out of water and started jibber-jabbering, and it must have been a heavenly language. Well, God said, you're better off speaking one word in a known language than gibbering 1,000 of them in an unknown tongue. That's not speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues is, Mrs. Barnes, when we have a deaf person comes here, she interprets. You know, she only, 2 weeks? She took sign language for 2 weeks, and she is fluent in the entire language of sign language and can talk to anybody. That's called the gift of tongues. You say, no, that's her hands. It's still a language. Can you speak it? Now, you got the dumb part, but not the deaf part, all right? Now, wait a minute. When Brother Stoltz was still alive, Brother Stoltz never took Spanish. Brother Stoltz could preach in any dialect of Spanish. He could speak to South Americans, Central Americans, Mexicans, Puerto Ricans, and he was. They were astonished that this little gringo could speak their language and understood their dialect of it. He didn't do it for a show, he did it to get the gospel out. That's what tongues are about. And I'm not going to get into a whole bunch of that. You have people that there are religions, especially down south, that they bring snakes into the church service and handle snakes. My niece and I were down there when I took Dad down to Florida. Stopped there and she said, "Uncle Craig, what about that church?" I said, "You don't go there. They handle poisonous snakes." She said, "No, they don't." I said, "Yes, they do." "How can you tell just from the name?" I said, "Look it up." And while I was driving, she looked it up. She said, "Well, it says here." I said, "Keep reading." Then it got down to where it talked about handling snakes being proof of the Holy Ghost. I said, "See?" She said, "I guess I don't want to go there." I said, "I wouldn't." Them people are weird. Now, wait a minute. There are entire religions based off of faith healing. What they call faith healing. You know, Ernest Angley, "In the name of Jesus, be healed." Smack you in the forehead. Touch the back of your television set. You can feel the power of God. Now, you're going to feel some power, but it ain't going to be from God. You know, smack them in the forehead. "Oh, my gizzard feels better." You know, they never healed anything you could see. Now, wait a minute. I'm talking about the prosperity gospel. "Oh, give all your money. It's seed money, and God will bless you for it." Oh, yeah, that's right. God's going to bless old, Joel Holstein, the cow guy down in Texas. He's making tens of millions, and may I say something? That's all a bunch of garbage. That's the spectacular and the unusual. God says we're not to rejoice in those things. Now, I've seen God heal people. Brother Harry's sitting back there right now. How many years ago, Brother Harry? About four? About 6 years? Good night. About 5.5 years ago or so, he was having troubles with his ticker, and we got him down in D.C., and they did a thing on his heart, and he needed five-way bypass surgery. It was the week before Thanksgiving. Well, the doctor made a mistake. I was in the room, and I saw the pictures, and two of the arteries feeding the heart on the top were bigger around than my thumb. They were bulging. They were getting ready to burst. And the doctor said, "Well, how about after Thanksgiving you call and we'll schedule a surgery?" I said, "Brother Harry, don't move." I said, "Doc, he doesn't have time. Can you get him in surgery today or tomorrow?" He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "He's not getting out of this bed." I said, "My entire ministry, I've never said this, but Brother Harry, don't you move." I said, "You go find out if you can get him in today or tomorrow." I think they got you in the next day. Amen. While he was opened up, they just got him on bypass, and one of those ruptured. Had he not been on bypass, I'd have preached his funeral. You say, what is that? That's God's way of healing. I believe that. In all these years, I've never told anybody else to do that, and hope I never have to again. Believe me. I called his family on the way back from D.C. and said, "I'm sorry that I didn't consult you first, but your dad can't wait. Trust me." And they were very glad that Dad's still here. Amen? And I am too. Now, wait a minute. You can't build a relation, and God says don't rejoice in those things. Rejoice that your name's written in heaven. The miraculous and the spectacular doesn't happen often. Needing a miracle stinks. Getting one's wonderful. But as I preached several months ago, do you realize that the moving of the water, only one got the miracle and everybody else walked away without it? The multitude walks away without the miracle. It's very rare that you get to be a part of it. The unusual and the spectacular do not happen often. By the way, listen to this statement. If you miss everything, get this. The miraculous, the spectacular, the unusual is not an indication of God's approval or disapproval. Too many times we want to judge God based on the result. "Well, I know God could heal this person." Yeah, but they're going to die someday. And if they don't, it's not God's fault. Quit blaming God. Everybody doing okay? So what does it mean to rejoice that your name is written in heaven? What's so good? What's so exciting? What's so great that God said, don't rejoice in these big things that you see. The biggest thing is that your name is written in heaven.
Amen.
Let's look at that today. Your name written in heaven is what we are to rejoice about. I call it rejoice. Number one, God tells us not to rejoice in the spectacular. Look at verse 20. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not. I'm thankful when big things happen, but that ought not be the focus of our Christian life. Let me ask you a question. How many times did you not get the big thing that you were wanting? How many times have you gone through the valley of the shadow of death? How many times have you ladies prayed for God to give you a child and it was a miscarriage? As our daughter just went through a couple weeks ago with twins. Been there. I'd say probably 60% of the ladies in this room probably have gone through that. Promise you. When you don't get that, guess what? God's still good and you can still rejoice that your name's written in heaven.
Amen.
My wife and I have 5 grandkids in heaven. I'm glad my name's written in heaven. I'm good to meet them one of these days. Amen. Hopefully they're not as bad as I am. Hopefully they take after my wife and not me. No amens right there, please. But God says don't sacrifice the eternal on the altar of the temporary. There's too many of us that want to get angry at God because we didn't get the big thing. But may I say something? Eternal life is a long time. The spectacular and the miraculous are not repeatable. They're not dependable. Did you know you can't depend on a miracle? Well, I just believe God's going to do this. Yeah, that's the power of positive thinking, and you're trying to make it spiritual. Faith is not the power of positive thinking. I'm not one of these people that says, well, just believe God and everything's going to be all right. Yeah, you can believe God and everything's going to be all right, but that doesn't mean you're not going to hurt. Doesn't mean everything's going to be good. You sit on my side of the desk, on my side of the phone, and catch the tears that I must catch. You see, these events don't happen very often, nor do they happen to very many people. So the spectacular, the miraculous, the unusual is not to be our standard.
Amen.
Now listen to me. This is why you shouldn't look for a spectacular change in somebody's life when they get saved.
That's right.
Uh-oh, I'm going to stomp on something here. I have people say, well, preacher, so-and-so told me they were saved, but I haven't seen any evidence of it. Well, you're not God. You're not going to see any evidence.
That's right.
You don't have eternal eyes to be able to see spiritual things. Who are you to judge somebody's salvation? When I knock on doors, I'll ask people, do they know for sure they're going to heaven? Some people say yes. I'll say, good, I know for sure too. Can you tell me how you know for sure? Now, many of them don't know how they know for sure. Then I'll go through the gospel with them. Some of them even say, well, I did do that a long time ago. I've just been out of church for a long time. That's all right. So you realize you're a sinner on your way to hell, that Jesus came and paid your sin debt for you, and you were willing by faith to trust what he did, and that alone to take you heaven? Yes. Good. Then you're saved. I don't go through it again with them. So, preacher, you don't question them based off the fact that at first they didn't know? No, because some people have been taught bad doctrine after they got saved. Everybody doing all right? Preacher, wait a minute. You have no right to judge anybody. My job is not to go out and see everybody get saved. My job is to get the gospel to every creature. What they do with it's between them and God, not between me and them. If the mailman brings your bills and you don't want to pay them, the mailman doesn't have to pay your bills. Why is it then our responsibility to make sure everybody's saved? No, our responsibility is make sure everybody has a clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's our responsibility. Now listen to this very carefully here. God does not say there has to be a change for you to be saved. Say, well, God says if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Yeah, you're a new creature. Creature, creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Yeah, but let me ask you a question. When Jesus was dying on the cross, he had a thief on one side and a thief on the other. One said, Lord, I believe. And he said, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. What good works did he do? He went to heaven and didn't even get baptized. Everybody doing all right? That's proof baptism doesn't get anybody to heaven.
That's right.
But he also didn't have a change of life. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun. Amen, preacher. So, first of all, you have to realize we're not to rejoice in the very unusual, the miraculous, the big things. Can I tell you something? Somebody called the church this week and they wanted to not sell something, but they were trying to get some information to me. And this guy says, well, in these days, it must be hard pastoring. I started laughing. Brother Greg, I just started laughing. He said, what's so funny? I said, I don't know that there's ever been an age when pastoring was easy. And he was a retired pastor. He started saying, well, I guess you got a point there, Pastor. I said, I know I do. I said, I don't base pastoring based on how easy or how wonderful it is. It's just the obedience to the word of God. I preached a sermon at a retired pastor. I said, I just believe if we'll preach the Bible, live and do what God said, he'll take care of what I can't take care of. He didn't know what to do with me. Conversation ended very quickly thereafter. Amen. So first of all, we're not to rejoice in that supernatural, that unusual, that miraculous, that unrepeatable event. Number two, what does it mean to have your name written in heaven? Take your Bible, turn to Philippians chapter 4. We're going to look at several verses here. Lick your finger and stick it in your neighbor's ear or something. Philippians chapter 4. Don't do that. Right? Unless you're married to him, don't do that. And even then, be careful, fellas, because she's going to slap you. Philippians chapter 4, look at verse number 3. I'm going to show you several verses here, and I'm going to come unscrewed here. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 3. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, with other my fellow laborers whose names are where? In the book of life. Notice that. In the book of life. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Keep turning back towards the book of Revelation. Before you get there is the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. Look at verse number 23. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 23. To the general assembly and the what? Church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. Oh, written in heaven. And to the God, the judge of all men, and the spirits and just men made perfect. Notice there's something written in heaven. All right? We already saw that there was a book of life. That's written, correct? All right? Turn to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. Look at verse number 5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot his name out of the what? Book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Turn to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. Look at verse number 27. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but that which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Oh, that means this. There is a book in heaven that when a person gets saved, their name is put in that book of life. Watch this. I'm going to do this in 2 minutes. Listen fast. God made man body, soul, and spirit. Just like God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But when man sinned, man's spirit died. That's why in John chapter 3 it says, you must be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. But that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. So when a man or a woman or a child gets saved, their spirit is reborn. Watch this. That means this. Eternal life begins at the conception of salvation. God said there is no life in a human if they have not been saved. There is no eternal life. It's all eternal death. You wonder why the world's so wacky, so screwy, and so weird? Because all they have to look forward to is this life. But bless the Lord, I can rejoice because my name is written in the book of life and I have eternal life.
Amen.
Can I tell you something? I am never going to die. I'm just changing addresses. Right. This robe of flesh I'll drop and rise to see the everlasting skies. Hey, I may shout through the air, praise God, but may I say something? My life began May 23rd, 19, none of your business. 67. My eternal life began in January of 1972. And I've been just as saved as Jesus Christ has since the day I trusted Christ. My eternal life began. My name was written in heaven. And there is nothing, absolutely nothing, I can do to not go there because God said he won't blot it out. Did you know you can't lose your salvation? If you got saved, your name is written in heaven. When I go soul winning and somebody trusts Christ as their Savior, I have a new Testament that I've been working on, but I write their names in the back of my Bible and I tell them when they got saved, God wrote their name in a book in heaven called the Book of Life. It helps them see and it helps me have a prayer list to pray through people that I've won to the Lord. So when you get saved, you have eternal life, and life begins eternal at the conception called salvation. Boy, that's good. Number next. Those who are not saved do not have their names written in the book of life. Let me show you. Turn to Revelation chapter 13. Everybody doing all right? I'm about to shout. Amen. Revelation chapter 13, look at verse number 8. Revelation 13, verse number 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. Oh. All these idiots that don't believe there is a God, one day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. All the humanists, all the sodomites, the alphabet soup people, all that crowd out there, the false gods, they're all going to bow their knee to the ever eternal God of heaven, Jehovah God, and because their names are not written in the book of life. It's called the Great White Throne Judgment. Turn to Revelation chapter 17. Just a couple pages over. Revelation chapter 17. Look at verse number 8. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they beheld the beast that was and is not and yet is. Notice their name was not written in the book of life. Well, what happens then? Turn to Revelation chapter 20. These may be the saddest verses in the entire Bible. Revelation chapter 20, look at verse number 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the what? Book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. They were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is at the great white throne judgment. God is keeping record of every person's life. To the Christian, our name is written in the book of life. And God doesn't keep track of our sin and our wrong. Because the righteousness of Christ is added and our sin was forgiven and washed away. But to the lost, every wrong thing, every evil thing that they have done, God's a recording in the book. That's why there's multiple books there. But the first thing he does is goes through and makes sure that their name is not in the book of life. Because if it's in the book of life, they're not going to be judged for their sins. It's a double check system. But at the great white throne judgment, none of their names will be found in the book of life. And then they're going to be judged for all those things that they did, all the evil things that Hitler did that are still going on. And Mr. Putin. And Nancy Pelosi, or if she's not saved, I'm not judging. But many others. Notice their names are not written in the book of life. May I say something? First thing you need to do is make sure your name's written in the book of life.
Amen.
That means this: do you know you're a sinner? Do you realize because you're a sinner, you deserve death and hell? And that Jesus Christ came and paid your sin debt for you. All you have to do is trust Jesus to take you there. It's not by getting baptized. It's not by joining a church. It's not by your righteousness, but by the righteousness of Jesus Christ that you enter heaven. Hey, can I tell you something? If I die today, I'm going to wake up in heaven. I can rejoice over the fact that I'm going to wake up in heaven one of these days. About a year and 3 months ago, I preached my mother's funeral right there. Can I tell you something? One of these days, I'm going to see her again. See, once your name is written in heaven, it can't be erased or taken out. It is an official record, just like a birth certificate. You could go to the city hall in Canton, Ohio, and go to where the birth records are and look up May 23rd, 1967, and you'll find my name there. It's officially recorded. Say why? Because that is a proof that I was born. And my dad said I was hatched, but I got proof I was born. By the way, when you get saved, God records it in the official book in heaven, and it's a birth certificate, the book of life for heaven. It doesn't matter how bad your circumstances may be, your name is written in heaven if you're saved. Doesn't matter if everything's going wrong, if your name's written in heaven, guess what? You're going to heaven. If you've been good, you're going to heaven. If you've been bad, you're going to heaven. If you've been as bad as Brother Scott, you're pushing it, but you're still going to heaven. Amen? May I say something? The same God that wrote with his own hand in the book of life, my name, that means this, he won't blot it out, and I'm on my way to heaven, I still got the victory. Amen. Doesn't matter if the economy's good or the economy's bad. You pay 50 cents a gallon for gas or $5 a gallon for gas, I am still going to heaven. Can I tell you something? You better make sure your name is written in heaven, because if not, you're going to die and go to hell. I didn't say it, God did. Don't get mad at me. I just preach it. I didn't write it. Number three, God commands us to keep rejoicing. The word rejoice, the English language, I love English grammar. I know that's strange, but I love English grammar. In English, we have past, present, and future tense. Now, I realize you have past perfect and present perfect and future perfect and all those other things, but basically, we have past tense, present tense, future tense. In the Greek, there is another tense. It's called the aorist or the linear tense. That means this. When God says to rejoice, that is a verb written in the linear or the aorist tense. That means this. Like a line continues forever, that linear tense means this. It means to rejoice and to rejoice and to rejoice and to rejoice and to not stop rejoicing. It keeps going just like the Energizer Bunny. Keeps going and going and going and going and going. God says you don't just have joy, but you're to rejoice and to keep rejoicing. And he said, don't rejoice over the spectacular, but keep rejoicing that your name is written in heaven.
Amen.
Philippians 4:4. Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Notice it says always. Rejoice in the Lord always. Why? Because your name is written in heaven. I don't care how bad it is. You can rejoice that you're on your way to heaven. I did 6 funerals in the first 6 weeks or 8 weeks of this year. In the last 2 weeks of last year. Can I tell you something? I've been rejoicing. I'm not happy those people passed away. I'm not happy, Brother Scott, your mama went to heaven. Brother James, I'm not happy Miss Lily went to heaven. I'm not happy Brother Jimbo left. Brother Matthew, I'm not happy Paula went to heaven. And I could go around, I'm not happy Debbie went to heaven also, and others. But can I tell you something? My name's written in heaven. I'm going to see him again someday. I sent them ahead. Poor Ann, God bless her. Her last couple of days, she wasn't as coherent as she normally was. Months before, I said, "Now, Ann, when you get there, would you give my mama a hug?" She said, "I'll do it." I said, "Would you give Jesus a hug for me?" She said, "I will." 2 days before she went to heaven, I walked in here to hospice, and Scott and Jamie, and I don't know if Elizabeth was there or not, but some of the family was there. I said, "Ann, it's not going to be too much longer." She said, "I know, give your mama a hug, right?" I said, "Yep." She said, "And who's that guy?" I said, "Jesus." She said, "Oh, yeah, that one." I don't think I'll ever forget that. It was great. Scott almost had to walk out in the hallway. He was laughing so hard. It was great. Can I tell you something? We have more fun at somebody's death than some people do while they're alive. Say, why? Because our names are written in heaven. They're not dying. They're just changing address. When my mama went to heaven, she didn't die. She just changed addresses. Now, I can't get to her yet, but one of these days, we're going to get there. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, don't take time to turn there. It says this, rejoice evermore. Oh, that wasn't a request. That's a command. Rejoice evermore. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. That means this: rejoice and rejoice and rejoice and rejoice and rejoice. Well, preacher, it's the economy's bad. Rejoice evermore. Biden's the president, kinda. Rejoice evermore. Things aren't going real well. The inflation rate's going high. Rejoice evermore. Things are getting wilder and wickeder. And what about World War III? Rejoice evermore. You've heard me say it for years. Watch Turkey. China, Russia, and Turkey. And guess who hit the news this week? Russia and Turkey are joining up. Keep looking up. Keep coming. This means I can rejoice continually, no matter how bad it gets, because I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. Say, preacher, I can't keep rejoicing if the miracles and the spectacular doesn't keep happening. But I can rejoice if my name's written in heaven. I may not get a miracle every day, but I'm not losing my salvation. My name's written in heaven, and I've got an awful lot to rejoice about, Brother James. What all can we rejoice about in our names being written in heaven? Glad you asked. Number one, I have an eternal home in heaven. If you're saved, do you realize that you're going to make one more move and that's it? It's to heaven. You'll never face another move after you get there. You're never going to die after you get to heaven. Can I tell you something? That's enough to get excited about. I was talking to my daddy this week. He'll be here tomorrow. He's on his way back, and he said to me just yesterday, he said, son, I miss your mama. I said, I do too. He said, but I know where she's at. He said, she was so sick. He said, as bad as she was, I wouldn't want her back unless she could have been well. She's a whole lot better off where she is now. Oh, he got it. He got it. Yeah, she was bad off. Do I miss her? Yeah, terribly. I talk to her every day of my life. Trust me. I was a mama's boy. Proud of it. Proud of it. But may I say something? I know where she's at. I can't talk to her and her hear me, and I don't hear her talking. And if I ever did, I'm done doing that. That's creepy stuff there. I hear people say, well, I saw so-and-so. No, you didn't. They're in heaven. I have an eternal home in heaven. God built it for me. John chapter 14, verse number 1. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Guess what? When we get there, Jesus will be there. God will be there. Our loved ones will be there. Can I tell you something else that you can rejoice in? Your sins are washed away. Amen. When your name gets written in heaven, God washes your sins away. That means you don't get held accountable for all those things you did. Amen, Brother Larry? Brother Andrew, you might even get better looking. You sure can't get any worse looking, that's for sure. Can I tell you something? When your sins get washed away, that means this: your name's written in heaven. Amen. You'll never be judged for them. They're wiped clean. That means all those things you feel regret over that you're still holding on to, God says, what sins are you talking about? They're not recorded. They're not there. They're underneath the blood of Jesus Christ. Hey, how about you just keep on going?
Amen.
Well, preacher, you don't know how bad I was. Yeah, well, I've never killed anybody. Did you know God forgives murders?
That's right.
Do you know that about 2/3 of your Bible was penned by 3 murderers? Moses, Paul, should I keep going? David. Those three, all three were guilty of murder. Oh, I wonder if they were even saved. Pharisee. Their sins are washed away just like yours are. Everybody doing all right? I can rejoice that my name's written in heaven. First of all, I've got an eternal home in heaven. Number two, my sins are washed away. Number three, I'm never going to face judgment for those sins. God's not going to throw your life on a screen and say, here's what you did. Aren't you glad? By the way, I think it's criminal for churches to do it while they're here on earth. It's going to be a cold day where the booger man lives before I pull anybody up here and say, well, this is a person, we need to rebuke them because they did this sin. That's a bunch of junk. That's not scriptural. First of all, you can't forgive them anyway. Only God can. Second of all, how about we trot you up here if you want to hear what their sin is and tell everybody what you've done wrong first. Not going to happen. So, well, preacher, you're trying to cover things up. I don't have to. It's already been covered by the blood of Jesus if they're saved. Glory to God. Number four, God cannot and will not take my name out of the book of life. Amen. Do you know it is impossible for you to not be saved after you've been saved? Because God won't take your name out of the book. He won't blot it out. He won't take it out. And you can't do anything to get it out. Number five, not only is my sin washed away, but the righteousness of Jesus has been added to my account. When God sees my name, he sees the life of Jesus Christ. Same thing for you if you've been saved. He imputes the righteousness of Jesus to your life. Number six. Another thing that I can rejoice about is I'm going to see my family and my friends and my loved ones and those that I've known throughout these years that are already there. I'm going to see my mama again. I'm going to see my grandparents. I'm going to see my wife's family members that are there. I'm going to see Brother Hiles and other preacher friends that I know that are there. I'm going to see Brother Roloff. I'm going to see my cousin who was killed with Brother Roloff in the plane crash 40 years ago. I'm going to see thousands that I've sent on before. Thousands. Can I tell you something? That's enough to make wanting to go to heaven worthwhile.
Amen.
May I say this and I'm done. God wants us to rejoice, not in the spectacular, but that our names are written in heaven. Once you get saved, I believe we ought to obey him. I don't know about you, but I'd like to be more obedient to him so that I could do more for him so that there are more people there when I get there. I have dedicated my life, my entire life, to getting the gospel out, to see people get saved, to see the saved encouraged, to get the gospel out, to see more people get saved. That means this, if we're saved, we ought to obey him. I don't know about you, I'd like to get to heaven obedient, wouldn't you? So, if we've been saved, maybe we ought to obey him with our baptism. If we've been saved and baptized, maybe we ought to obey him with our church membership and going to church. Maybe we ought to obey him, grab some gospel tracts, and tell others about him.
Amen.
I was proud of Ashley. I'm going to embarrass her. She took a bunch of eggs to the trucker, the convoy this week. But while she was there, she left a stack of tracts, and the lady wanted, can we take a picture? And she said, no, just make sure they all get a gospel tract. A little bit later in the day, the lady called her in tears and said, you ought to see all the people that are reading those gospel tracts. That's what makes God happy. That's not the miraculous. That's just us doing what we're supposed to do. God takes care of the miraculous when they read that and they trust Christ as a Savior and go to heaven someday. And somebody walks up to her and says, you remember those eggs that you took someday? I was eating eggs one day, but somebody gave me a gospel tract. Because of you, I got to go to heaven. Whew, that's enough to make you want to shout. Let's not worry about the spectacular. Let's not worry about the unusual. How about we just rejoice that our name's written in heaven? But if your name's not written in heaven, you're at the place where you could get it written in heaven.
Amen.
You could take care of it today. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. I am not going to call you by name. I'll not call you out. I'll not embarrass you. But who would say, preacher, if I died today, I am 100% sure. I know for sure I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You may put your hands down. Virtually every hand. I couldn't see everybody all at one time. But who would say, preacher, if I died today, I don't know for sure I'd go to heaven. But I'd like to know that. Would you raise your hand? All right. If you don't know that, you come forward. We'll take the Bible and show you how you could know for sure. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, something I needed today. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Scores and scores and scores of hands. You may put them down. If you've been saved and never baptized, we could take care of it today. If you've been saved and baptized by immersion and like to join our church, we'd love to have you join. I'm not pulling any punches. Old-fashioned, independent, King James only, Bible-preaching church. Maybe you just need to come kneel at an altar and get some things right with the Lord today.